that your word is life. And I thank you that you're not a silent God, but you're still speaking to us today. You speak through your word, you speak through the Spirit. And I pray today that we would have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts prepared to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. So we're in our series right now called Be the Difference, Rise to the Challenge. How many of you know that God has put us on this planet to be a difference maker? Somebody say amen. You're not supposed to just coast through life without making a difference. That you are called to make a difference to somebody somewhere. Every single one of us has that call and that mandate on our life. It may not, listen, how many of you know, it may not be like Billy Graham did it? How many of you know he was a difference maker on a grand scale, millions of people? But I'm going to tell you right now, Billy Graham can't change your world. You're called to your world. Isn't that awesome? You're called to your family. You're called to your neighbors. You're called to your community to be a difference maker. And we began talking last week. We talked about this man in the Old Testament named Joseph, and not Mary and Joseph, but Joseph in Genesis, and how he was somebody who went through some struggles in life, that he had a dream. And we talked last week about difference makers are dreamers. Amen? And that he had a dream, and he expressed that dream to his brothers, and his brothers hated him for it. And his brothers were, remember, if you remember, they were a little bit psycho. Two of his brothers were mass murderers. They slaughtered a village. Not the brightest move to tell these guys, you're going to bow down to me one day. Especially being the little brother. He probably should have thought differently about that. But they hated him so much, and they sold him into slavery, and they were going to kill him. But one of the brothers took mercy on him and sold him into slavery. And he found himself in a house of a man called Potiphar. And in Potiphar's house, he was accused falsely by Potiphar's wife of assaulting her. And she lied about him, and he found himself in prison. How many of you know his life just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse? And in all of this, he was wondering, where is the dream? And he felt like he was rotting away in prison until one day, Pharaoh needed him to interpret a dream. The dreamer had to interpret the dream. And he shows up in Pharaoh's presence, and in one day he goes from being in prison to the prime minister of Egypt. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing at what a day can make when God gets involved. And so he found himself there. And as I was praying a little bit about him and his life and the dream and how his dream was not really for him but to save a people, I kept thinking, man, if anybody had an opportunity to be offended, it was Joseph. If anybody had an opportunity to be mad at God, it was Joseph. How many of you would say that being rejected by your family, being sold into slavery, being falsely accused of a crime you didn't commit, and rotting away in prison would probably give you an excuse to be a little bit upset, be a little bit bitter? And I began to look at the life of Joseph, and I kept asking, I said, God, how could it be that this man who was only human could go through all of this? And in all of it, the Bible tells us that there wasn't anywhere that he got bitter or offended at anything that happened to him. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have probably some bad days where he was going, woe is me, because he's human. But the thing about him is he never allowed offense to take root in his life. And that I began to pray about that a little bit, and I said, God, that's amazing. I believe the Lord spoke to me was this, is that difference makers aren't offense takers. You cannot make a difference if you're offended. The moment you find yourself in a position of offense, you're stuck. That's where you're at. That's where you are. You're stuck in that moment. And you forfeit your ability to make a difference at that point, because all you can think about is your own hurt, your own offense, and how you were wronged and what you were owed. See, I was thinking about Joseph. And if there were any offense in his heart, you say, Pastor James, how do you know there was no offense? Because I know, because at the end of the story, what happens was this. His brothers came to him and didn't know who he was because there was a famine in the land. I mean, you know, Joseph saved the land from famine. And they came to him saying, we need food, and they didn't recognize him. Now, if Joseph were offended, he would have taken that opportunity to have his brothers killed, or at the very least imprisoned. And how many of you would have felt he would have been justified? My hand's up, by the way. Yeah. For what they did to him. But he didn't do that. He showed mercy at the moment where he could have taken out his revenge. And the reason he did that is because he realized he was there to make a difference, not to right an offense or a wrong. You guys okay? See, because it wasn't about what Joseph was owed in that moment. It's about what people needed. It's about what the nation needed. It's about what his family needed. And had offense gotten in the way, how many of you know we probably would never have that story in Scripture? You guys okay? See, offense is probably the greatest factor or threat of living out God's dream. And there's only one antidote for that threat, and that's forgiveness. See, people who make a difference know how to forgive. We're going to talk about offense and forgiveness today. Are you okay? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we can grab hold of this principle, we might be able to change our situations. I was praying with the worship team today. I just want to let you know my expectation for today. I believe that the Lord spoke to me and he said, there is somebody that's walking in here today who's walking in with hurt, bitterness, and offense, but they're going to walk out free today. Somebody's walking out free today. And so I looked at our worship team and I said, worship team, we've got a job to do. We have to set an atmosphere today where the captive can be set free, where chains can be broken. See, I'm going to tell you right now before I get into the message of this, God gave me an image this morning when I woke up and I knew I was going to be preaching on this. He gave me the image of somebody who was almost like they were tied, they were like their arm was tied to a chain with a large weight at the bottom of it, and they were just sinking through ocean water. And they were just, and they couldn't breathe, and they were panicking, and they were sinking, and they were almost coming to the point of resignation. And I remember seeing very clearly that they weren't actually tied to the anchor. They were just refusing to let go. And the whole way down, they were drowning by their own choice in their own decision, when all they had to do was let go. You guys okay today? I believe somebody's going to let go today. I believe somebody's going to resurface today and come up for air. And my prayer today is that you breathe again for the first time in a long time, a free breath. Amen? Father, speak to us. Free us today. Charles Swindoll writes in his book, Joseph, he says this. He says, here's one on the list of God's greats. A life lived for his glory and equally significant, though he was terribly mistreated, lived high above the all too common reactions of rage, resentment, and revenge. Here is one who deliberately chose to overlook unfair offenses, to overcome enormous obstacles, and model a virtue that is fast becoming lost in our hostile age, forgiveness. How many of you know we're living in a world today that is short on forgiveness? We're living in a world today that is full of hostility. More hostility is not going to make the situation better, friends. Can I tell you that right now? You guys okay? It's time to let go of hurts and offenses and forgive. In a very simple way, I want to deal with the reasons and results and the remedies of offenses, looking as Joseph as our example this morning. So let's talk about the reasons first and foremost. Some of the quick facts about offenses. How many of you know offense is inevitable and it's a part of life? Can I say that again? Offense is inevitable. It's a part of life. I'm sorry, I wish I could tell you differently. But all of us have an opportunity to face or to be a cause of offense at some time or another in our life. And I'm going to tell you right now, you will be both. Come on. You'll have an opportunity to be offended. How many of you know you have an opportunity daily to be offended? but you will have an opportunity to be an offense. Usually, you won't even know you did it. I'm going to say that right now. Most people that get offended, the person who offended them has no idea that they even did it, most of the time. It's amazing to me how many offenses could be cleared up by just by a conversation, a quick conversation. Just to be able to give somebody the opportunity to say, I'm so sorry, I didn't know I did that. Can you forgive me? How many of you have ever accidentally offended somebody and not even known it? See? How many of you have been offended before? We're in good company today, aren't we? We're all in this thing together. Joseph experienced all three of the following reasons to be offended. First, he experienced rejection and abuse, mostly caused by his own family. How many of you know your family shouldn't be the ones that reject and abuse you? How many of you know in a lot of families, that's where we see offense the most, is in the family? Yeah? By the way, I'm going to tell you right now, that is an enemy, that is a tool of the enemy to try to break up families. The enemy hates families. You know why? Because the thing God loves the most is family. He even describes himself as Father. You know that's God's favorite way to communicate who he is, as Father. He says, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. He didn't say our King, our Judge, our General, our leader, our boss. He said our Father, because the thing God values more than anything is family. Everything he did was because he wants us to be a part of the family of God. Now, how many of you know that if you're a parent or a grandparent, it hurts your heart to see your children at each other's throats? So the enemy knew that to hurt God, he had to cause offense in family. You guys okay? That's where most offense lies. You guys all right? But he not only faced rejection and abuse, he faced false accusation and unjust punishment through Potiphar and his wife. How many of you know Joseph, when Potiphar's wife came to him and she offered herself to him and he refused and rejected her because he was doing the right thing. He actually did the right thing. He said, how can I take this from my master who has given me everything? He's given me the run of everything here but you. How can I do this thing? And for his integrity, he was punished. How many of you know that's a bad day? How many of you know Joseph could have said, but I did the right thing. I didn't touch her. I didn't lay a hand on her. And now he's being falsely accused of something he didn't do. And I'm going to tell you right now, Potiphar probably knew the character of his wife. But to save his own face, he had to send Joseph to prison. You still feeling offended? Not only did he get a false accusation and unjust punishment, unfair treatment, and being overlooked, because while he was in prison, he saw two men go free after interpreting their dreams. And he said, he just asked them, please don't forget me while you're out there. And you know what they did? They forgot him. They left him there for two more years. How many of you know that would feel pretty bad? And then until one day, one of them goes, oh yeah, by the way, there was this guy named Joseph speaking to Pharaoh who could interpret dreams. See, most people face some or another variety of these offenses on their paths in life too. So let's look at a little bit at the results that they can have. Offense is like a mixture of poisons releasing effects like rejection, resentment, anger, bitterness, and hatred into our lives. And here's something to note. Because we are what is called an integrated being, how many of you know you're more than just a body? Right? Your body, mind, your soul, your spirit, they're all intertwined right now in this life. Amen? How many of you know you're more than just the physical you? So you got spirit, soul, and body, and whatever happens in one area has an effect on the others as well. How many of you know if somebody offends you, it doesn't just offend you in one area? How many of you know that bleeds over into every area of your life? You feel it in every area, right? Somebody does something horrible to you, and all of a sudden, somebody made a decision to hurt you, and you begin to blame God for letting it happen. You remember that? Anybody ever done that? I mean, has anybody honestly, look me in the eye, honestly, as a pastor, and say, have you never prayed, God, why have you let this happen to me? Anybody prayed that? God didn't let it happen to you. You live in a fallen, broken world full of hurt. Somebody made a decision in this nasty little thing we call free will, which, by the way, God thought free will was worth it, and they hurt you. God didn't want that. Yet somebody makes a decision and it affects every area of our life. That's why God understands that we have to be rid of this unforgiveness, because it will poison us to the very core. It can play havoc on our health and our emotions and our spiritual sight, and unresolved offenses and bitterness blind spiritual eyes so that God's plan is completely obscured to the soul. I'm going to tell you right now that if you find yourself in a position of offense, you will have a hard time seeing what God is doing. You're going to have a hard time seeing, all of a sudden you're going to find yourself in a position of confusion, and you're not going to see God in anything. Because all you can see is your own offense, your own hurt, your own loss, your own rejection. And you're going to say, where is God in all this? And God's going to be going, I'm right here. I've never gone anywhere. I'm still working the plan, but you just can't see it because of this thing that's in the way. And in order to see it, you got to get over it. You guys okay? Not only that, it begins to cause a loss of discernment in our life. See, our life perspective is tremendously influenced, usually toward a negative disposition, resulting in a loss of trust for people. When we're offended, all of a sudden, we don't just take it out on the person who offended us. We start taking it out on everybody. We start trusting nobody. We start doubting everybody, even the ones who want good for you. We begin to be suspicious and paranoid. I'm sorry that that happens. God, that was never God's intention for us to live suspiciously. But unfortunately, it's how a lot of us live. You okay today? Because of the damage caused to our mind, will, and emotions, otherwise beautiful people start to become less and less attractive. And I'm not being ugly when I say this, but essentially offended people become ugly people in their attitude and their spiritual demeanor. Offense will make you act in ways that is not really who you are. How many of you know an offended person's not pleasant to be with? Come on. They're oversensitive, they're suspicious, maybe even explosive in temperament. In other words, they just got bad tempers. Right? You know, we see this happen in marriages where one partner can't forgive the other for maybe even being legitimately wronged. But because they can't forgive the other, it creates this hurt, this ugliness, this oversensitivity, blowing up on things that shouldn't be blowing up on. Come on. Blowing things out of proportion that were innocent, right? We've seen this before, haven't we? Maybe you've experienced it, and if you have, I'm so sorry. But there's only one way through it, forgiveness. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. See, offense is the seed for bitterness. And so that's why Scripture is so violently against this bitterness, this unforgiveness rooting in our life. Hebrews 12:15 says this, "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God." How many of you know God's desire is that none of us fail to receive His grace? Amen? Watch out so that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. And notice what it says there, corrupting many. I'm going to tell you right now, your offense never stays with you. Can I say that again? Your offense never stays with you. It will corrupt somebody else. You want to know something I've noticed about offended people? Offended people will find other offended people and they'll talk about their offenses. Offended people will begin to build a case against the offender. Offended people will look for somebody else to take their side, come on, and they'll drag them into their story, and they'll drag them into what's going on, and they will tell everybody else what happened to them except the person that did it to them. I've seen it too many times. That's why the Bible's very clear. If somebody has offended you, you go to them. You confront them with it. And then if there's no resolution, then you go and get witnesses. What we do is we go ahead and get the witnesses. We hold the trial. We go ahead and sentence them to execution, and then we might let them know about it. But that's not how God's way works. See, God understood, because here's the thing. We begin to fall in love with our own hurt. And we begin to fall in love with our own offenses. And we begin to fall in love with our own justifications. And so the moment I actually have to go and confront it, guess what happens? I lose my right to be offended. And maybe I love my right to be offended. Come on. More than I actually want forgiveness to flow. You didn't know you had to wear some steel toes today. I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was going to go like this either. Keep your corruption to yourself. Keep your venom to yourself. People of God, look at me. Saints, I love you. Quit your gossiping. I know I'm not talking to anybody here. This is for you to take and go tell somebody else at another church. Quit talking about people that aren't in the room unless you're praising them. And don't come to me and start sandbagging somebody I love. That will not go well for you. If you got an issue, you deal with somebody else. Amen? Don't go build your case. Quit your gossiping. Quit your griping. And grow up a little bit. You all right? Sorry. I know this is not Joel Osteen's best life now, right now, or whatever. But do you want to win? Or do you just want to keep stumbling through life? If you want to win, you got to forgive. You guys okay? All right. See, God's loving presence and His justice is the key to overcoming offenses in our life. Let's look at Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. I have to move quickly to get through this morning. It says this, "These patriarchs were jealous of their brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But God was with him." Somebody say amen. And by the way, God is with you. Yeah? "And rescued him from all his troubles, and God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom, so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. Joseph encountered offenses, but he overcame them because God was with him." Guys, this isn't rocket science. I'm going to tell you right now, the moment you become offended, I guarantee you, when somebody becomes offended, the last person they start talking to, the last person they want to be around is the presence of God. Because God will not abide your offense. You will suffer spiritually. Now, he's not going to distance himself from you, but you'll distance yourself from him. Because you know the moment you take it to him, he's going to make you deal with it. You guys all right? You know why he makes you deal with it? Because he loves you. Not because he's mad at you. Can we just say that? God is not mad at us. Amen? God is not mad at you. He is not angry with you. God is not in the smiting or smoting business. He loves us. The love of Jesus enables us to be overcomers against offense. So how does it work? So the following scriptures provide the answer we're going to look at. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 says this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, even if you don't feel like it. I added that part. Don't. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been forgiven? Yep. You've been forgiven? Well, guess what? Do likewise. Amen? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says this. Imitate God. Say imitate. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. I want to stop right there. Imitate God. Go back to that scripture for me where it says that. Imitate God. You know children, you know how children learn? Through imitation. Right? Your kids will do what they see you do. Right? That's why it's important that we set examples. Anybody disagree with that? That it's very hard to tell a child, do as I say, not as I do. Because they will imitate what you do. Right? How many of you know when kids imitate, they play pretend? Is this okay? I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes you got to pretend. Sometimes you have to say to yourself, I'm going to forgive because I'm trying to imitate God, not because I feel like it. See, we oftentimes feel like we have to feel like it before we forgive. You don't have to feel like it. You have to decide to do it. Because you will never feel like it. Come on. I've never felt anybody before just says, you know, today I just feel like forgiving people. It just doesn't work that way. Forgiveness always starts with a decision. Today I'm going to choose to imitate God. Today I'm going to make a decision that I will forgive. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Everything that happens spiritually in your life happens because you make a decision. Period. And typically it's the decisions that you make when you don't feel like it that are the ones that lead to the greatest freedom. You guys okay? By the way, for some of you that are visiting, when I say, are you guys okay, that's actually my way of saying, I don't really care if you're okay. I'm really just trying to know, are you listening? But please be okay, too. Feel free to be okay. I just mean, are you listening? Are you with me? Right? You have to experience God's grace. Through Jesus Christ, accepting Christ by faith opens up the way for us to live in his presence, to live in his love, and to live in his forgiveness. And once you experience the fullness of the grace of God and forgiveness, it changes you. See, I didn't understand for many years of my life. I served God out of just obligation because it was the thing you do. And there are moments when you have to just serve and do an obligation. But nothing really changed in my life until the penny dropped of how much God loved me. until I realized that God wasn't angry with me and God didn't get disappointed in me when I didn't live up to his standards and when I failed him. It wasn't until I realized that no matter what I did, God was going to love me no matter what. That's when freedom began to happen. That's when that grace began to play out in my life, because I started to realize I'm quite a bit of a mess. But God loves me anyway. And if God can do that for me, don't I owe it to others to do it for them? You know, the funny thing is the more and more you walk in the grace of God, and the longer you live and the more you've been forgiven of things, you tend to be more graceful and you tend to be less judgmental. When somebody, I can't believe they did that. I'm like, look, I've been in ministry long enough, I can. I can believe, you'd be surprised what I can believe people can do. I can believe it. But I also know God loves us. And if God can forgive me, God can forgive you. Amen? And if I can forgive me, I can forgive you. You guys okay? We can experience the fullness of his love and his forgiveness because Jesus giving his life on the cross. And so as you experience this love, this forgiveness, this grace, it enables you to begin to walk in forgiveness. And partaking of his grace is the first step in beating offense. And I just got to say it this way. The moment you can begin to start forgiving yourself, that's usually, by the way, the hardest person to forgive. The moment you can start forgiving yourself, you can start forgiving other people. And I'm not talking about sitting in denial where you go, well, I'm completely fine. I've never done anything wrong. Liar. Now you're just lying to you're just lying to yourself at this point. Right? Because we already took the poll. How many of you have been an offense? How many of you have been offended? Right? You bear some responsibility in this. Amen? You're just living in denial until you can start saying, I can't believe God could forgive me of that. Now I have to forgive myself. See, we have to forgive. Forgiveness is the make or break issue in confronting offenses. If you don't make use of God's grace to forgive the bitterness caused by offense, it will eventually break you. This is the ugly alternative to forgiveness. See, forgiveness turns a stumbling block of offense into a stepping stone of God's purpose. And I'm going to tell you right now, why did God let this happen to me? Joseph could have said, why did God let this happen to me? And you know what? How many of you know he would have had probably a better case than you? But please understand that every hurt in Joseph's life, every painful moment God was using as a stepping stone to put him in front of Pharaoh. Who knows where your story is leading you? Who knows what those hurts could mean if we turn them over to God? They can either be a stumbling block or a stepping stone. It's up to you. See, some people never get around the stumbling block. Other people turn them into stepping stones. You guys all right? See, you've heard me say this before. If you're around me for more than 5 minutes, you'll hear me say this. God does not waste pain. Every painful thing you've been through, even the ones that the enemy caused, even the ones that you caused, that you're trying to blame the devil for, and he's over there going, that was all you. I had nothing to do with that. God can turn those painful moments into purposeful moments. And he can take us someplace higher. Amen? See, whether Joseph knew it or not, he was perfectly positioned in the moment where God needed him. He had gone through the right things. He had enough grace in his life at this point that God looked at him and said, now I can use him. At 17 years old, he had a dream, and theologians tell us for the next 13 years of his life, he suffered. Until at 30 years old, he becomes prime minister of Egypt. And for the next 7 years, he gets Egypt into a position of prosperity to get them through a famine. There was purpose in the pain. You guys all right? Last couple things. Then we have to begin to live in love. You have to make a decision that you're going to do forgiveness as a way of living. Be quick to forgive. Not hold on to grudges. I'm going to tell you right now, Doc would probably agree with me. People who hold grudges are probably some of the most unhealthy people that you deal with. Isn't that true, Dr. Jeff? People who live in offense, people who live in hurt, people who hold on to things and grudge. How many of you know that creates stress that you are not supposed to carry? You are never supposed to live under that burden, never supposed to live under that bondage. That is not God's best for your life. He did not design you to carry that. He designed you to be forgiving. That's why we have to start doing forgiveness on the go. Living a life of forgiveness, making a decision every day that I will live in forgiveness. I'm going to tell you right now, people that live in forgiveness, Michelle, if you would come, I'll start. I'll hear the music. You guys know the rules. I hear music, I start winding down. How many of you know people that live in forgiveness are pleasant people to be around? You ever been around somebody that just seems so unoffendable? And they're just amazing people. And you're like, how are you like this? But there's such a difference about them, and they make such a difference everywhere they go. Because not only, just as offense is corrupting, people who know how to forgive rub off on other people. As a matter of fact, I dare say, it has a greater impact. How many of you are on the Facebooks this week? How many of you saw the video that I couldn't have timed this better? Was there an Amber Geiger and the brother of the man that she murdered? Let's call it what it is. That's what she did. And I remember, my wife was telling me, she's like, you got to watch it. You have to watch it. And typical me, I'm very busy because I'm a very important person, apparently. Like, I don't have time to watch it. I don't have time to watch it. She's like, no, you don't understand it until you see it. So don't tell her I went back and watched it after she went to bed. And she was right. With tears in my eyes, I'm watching that. And I'm saying, I don't know I could do that. God, help me. I don't know if I could do what that young man just did. And that one act of mercy and forgiveness, and I guarantee you, that young man was probably thinking, I can either wring her neck because it didn't diminish his loss. But what a beautiful example to the world. How many people are seeing this right now? And in a world full of hostility, in a world full of brokenness, one act of forgiveness is absolutely resonating. And that young man's a difference maker right now because he refuses to allow himself to be trapped in a bondage of unforgiveness and offense. And he has every right. But according to the Spirit of the living God, he has no right. Amen? I'm reminded of even Pope John Paul many years ago in the assassination attempt. Some of you don't remember this, but he confronted the man who tried to kill him, and he forgave him. What a wonderful thing. We have to keep believing that God's going to do something amazing, that God is in control of our life, that God is in control of our destiny. And we have to follow Joseph's example and let our faith in God's sovereignty triumph over the most adverse attacks and situations and circumstances in our lives. And we have to realize that God's dream for our life, we have to be able to keep our life free from offense if we're going to see God's dreams. happen in our life. See, total forgiveness will not only restore your spiritual sight, but it also ensures that your sight stays sharp, that you can see what God is doing, that you can see God in the small, quiet moments as well. Forgiveness heals and it restores the damage caused by offense. You know, we have to be able to do that. And that video, which so beautifully is bringing healing to so many people, I dare you to watch it and not get at least misty-eyed. Because what a beautiful picture of forgiveness. So many people can't see clearly because all they can see is their own hurt. Today is a good day to let it go. You say, Pastor James, you don't know what's done to me. I don't need to know. God knows. Pastor James, you don't know how much it hurt. No, I don't know how much it hurt you, but I've been in hurt before. And there's not a single one of us that are walking this planet that hasn't felt hurt. So, in that sense, with all the love in my heart, I say to you, you're not special. The difference will be made in what we do with it. If you're tired and you're drained and you're worn out from keeping that offense fire burning, I can just say to you today, it's just wasted effort. Let it die out. Refuse to feed it. Say, Pastor James, I don't feel like forgiving. That's okay. You don't need to feel like it to do it. You just have to imitate God. But what if I don't feel anything afterward? Then just keep doing what he told you to do and keep forgiving. Until one day, I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you this. If you will wake up every morning with the intention of forgiving those who have hurt you, listen to my words, I guarantee you this will happen. There will come a day where you will no longer remember what was done to you. You will get over it. And you will breathe again. And you will live again. And you will experience joy again. And you will not just do it for yourself, but you will now set freedom for the generations that come after you. What I have learned is offended people create offended people. You ever heard hurt people hurt people? Let's change that. Offended people offend people. Raise offended people. Amen? Let's not raise offense anymore. Let's let it go. Both the offended and the offender need to engage in forgiveness. In Scripture, the call is for one to give it and the other to ask for it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the person who offended you may not ask for forgiveness. That's not your job. Now, if you are the offender, and you're here today and you know you've offended somebody, I want to encourage you. Go to that person and ask for forgiveness. Well, Pastor James, what if they don't receive it? That's not your part. Your part is to just go ask. And if you're the offended person here today, I want you to extend forgiveness. Well, what if they don't want to be forgiven, or what if they don't care? That's not your part. You can't control what they do. You have to do your part and trust God with the rest. Amen? And then I believe God will bring healing today. Joseph worked through many offenses because God was with him. Because of this, he prospered. So my question today is, will you forgive? Will you ask to be forgiven, whether you feel like it or not? It is the first step to freedom, and it's the first step to liberation. Let's all stand. I'm past my time. I have to pray.